Oh, good evening, friends.
Christ has risen.
He's risen indeed.
Ah, it's exciting, isn't it?
My name's Toby. I'm one of the ministers here at Tom's. It's great to be with you. It's great to be looking at God's Word. And as we think, especially today, about the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead. We're going to look at that passage. Please keep it open. Luke chapter 24. And pray with me that we'll hear God truly. Father God, thank you for speaking to us. For making yourself known. Please help us to hear and to understand and to be shaped and changed that we might obey Jesus and follow him. Amen. I've moved house about 7 or 8 times over the past 8 years. 8 years I've been married. I think we've lived in 7 different houses. So it's a lot of moving, a lot of shuffling, a lot of getting used to new places, settling down. And it always takes a little while. But one thing, I haven't yet got to the point where I feel like I know the kitchen. I understand where everything goes. Like almost every day, still, in my current house where we've lived for more than a year, almost every day I have to ask Kaz where something is or where something goes so I can put it back. I don't have everything worked out. Now, some things I can guess, and I've got my kind of system of where I'd expect some things to go, where you should put them. Like some things, knives go in the knives drawer. That makes sense. And they do, and that's easy. But like an orange juicer, that's not so obvious. Where do you keep that? So I often have to ask Kaz. And because my framework, my expectations, don't always set me up, get me to look in the right spot. I'm too lazy to search through the whole kitchen, open every cupboard. It's much easier just to ask her. Now sometimes, even if we know exactly what we're looking for, we can't find it unless we know where to look. Sometimes our expectations about where we think it should be mean that we can't find it, or we misunderstand. Now, it's pretty trivial thinking about stuff where it goes in the kitchen, but when we're thinking about Jesus, it's much more important. But the same thing happens to us. We have our expectations, all of us. And they either help or become an obstacle for us as we try and understand Jesus, who he is. It means that if we don't get them right, we can actually misunderstand him, or worse, we can miss out on him altogether. Now, as we read that passage, I wonder if you noticed that the women, those who first encountered Jesus' resurrection, they've got exactly this problem. Have a look with me. Luke chapter 24, from verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. So far, so good. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were looking, they were expecting to find his body there. They'd brought spices to prepare it for permanent burial. He'd kind of just been given a quick wrap-up to get him set before the Sabbath, the day of rest, began, when they weren't allowed to do any work, especially they weren't allowed to come in contact with dead bodies. And so he'd been set, he'd been put in the tomb on Friday night, stayed there Saturday, and now on Sunday morning they're back. They're ready to finish the job. But when they get there, there's no body. There's no body. And you can see they're confused, aren't they?
They're not sure what's going on. They're puzzled. And so verse 4 says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. There's angels. And they see the women, and they know what the women's problem is, why they're puzzled, why they're confused. In their fright, the women bow down. Then the men said to them, at the end of verse 5, why do you look for the living among the dead? See, the women have got this expectation. And it's causing them to be puzzled. It's causing them to miss the truth of what's happened. They're expecting to find a dead body, and they're looking for it where dead bodies belong, in the tomb. But the men, they say, why are you looking for the living? The living they should be looking for. See, they've missed something in their expectations. And it's something, it's pretty easy. When people die, we don't expect them to come back to life, do we? It's a pretty big change to get your head around. A pretty big adaptation you need to make to your mindset. But the women, they should have had a little bit of an idea. It shouldn't have been a complete surprise. Why? Because Jesus had already told them this was what was going to happen. See, the angels continue, verse 6. He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while you're still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and then on the third day, be raised again. And then they remembered his words. See, they should have known. Jesus had given a hint. He told them, and not just once either. It happened 1, 2, 3 times. He'd made a point of saying this was going to happen. And yet they hadn't picked up on it. They hadn't got their head around it. And it's understandable. It's a big change, isn't it? It's a big change. But in order for them to appreciate what's happened, and in order for them to fully understand who Jesus is and what he does, it's something they need to deal with. They need to get their head around this fact. Jesus is not someone who stays dead. He's someone who dies and rises again. Well, the women had a bit of a hint and they hadn't got their head around it. But we don't want to be too hard on them, because neither had Jesus' closest friends. Neither had the disciples, had they? See, when the women have had this encounter with the angels, they go and tell the disciples. Verse 9. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. So they passed the message on, and what's the response of the apostles? You think, oh, they'll say, yeah, that, Jesus did say that. No. Verse 11, but they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Their words seemed to them like nonsense. I often feel like we get the same response today from lots of people, don't we? We say that we believe in a guy called Jesus who rose from the dead. People just think it's utter fairy story. The disciples, they'd heard the same things Jesus had said. They'd been with him. They'd seen the extraordinary things he could do. The types of miracles, healing people, driving out demons, calming storms, walking on water, even raising other people from the dead. They'd seen all this. And the women come back and say, the tomb's empty. Angels told us he's risen from the dead, just like he said. It's a big shift. It's a big change to their expectations. Peter is singled out, though, isn't he? Verse 12. Peter, however, is in contrast to the other disciples. Maybe he's got just a bit more of an inkling. maybe just a bit more curious to see what's going on. But he goes, and he got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he sees the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself, what's happened? But the woman said, actually, it's right, there's no body there. Wow. Wow. The reality is, isn't it, to understand Jesus properly, to understand what's happened here, even Jesus' closest friends needed to change their expectations, needed to change their framework for viewing the world, the way they understood God's kingdom, God's promised king, and even, as it goes on, the way they understand themselves. They needed to let Jesus be himself. Needed to let his words shape their thinking about him. And you know what? That's exactly the same for you and I. We've got to do the same thing when we come to think about Jesus. We need to let him be himself as he really is, even in our own thinking, rather than the opposite, which is letting our prejudices, our thinking about the world shape him so that he fits our box. See, when the angels say to the women, remember how he told you, equally that's the same. We could be told the same thing, don't we? It would fit just as well for us. Remember what he told you. Now friends, we're all in great danger of making Jesus fit our perspectives, fit our boxes that we'd like Jesus to fit in, fit our expectations. And it's really easy to do. And there's so many different ways we can do it. But it's really dangerous. Because when we do that, do you know what happens? When we just start kind of, oh, no, that bit of Jesus just doesn't make sense to me. I'm leaving it out. Oh, that thing Jesus said, that doesn't make sense. I can't understand it. Maybe he didn't really say that. Oh, I'll just ignore that bit. You know what happens as we do that? More and more, the Jesus we're seeing through our grid, through our expectations, looks more and more like us. So we shape and we picture a Jesus in our own image. We like to see him think the way we think, to speak and act the way we speak and act, or at least the way we would like to see ourselves speaking and acting. It's really difficult not to do. It's really difficult. And there's lots of bits of Jesus that don't always fit nicely with modern concepts of the world. There's lots of bits of Jesus that are challenging. For those people who are kind of from the deist point of view, which means they believe there's a God who kind of makes the world and makes everything, but he kind of sets it up, like winds up the clock and then sets it running and watches from a distance. To that worldview, it doesn't make sense that Jesus would come and take part in the world, that he would be incarnate. That doesn't fit. To Jews and Muslims and lots of other worldviews, it doesn't make sense that there is a God who exists in three people, that Jesus is the second person of God, the divine Son. And especially, it doesn't make sense that the divine Son could die. That doesn't fit with that way of thinking. To many of our neighbours who have a materialistic mind frame, not just in the kind of the materialistic way of going and buying heaps of stuff, but also the materialistic way of the belief that says the only thing that's real is matter, is things that we can touch and see and do scientific experiments on. And if we can't see it, if we can't use science on it, it's not real. Well, to that worldview, there's lots about Jesus that doesn't fit, isn't there? All the kind of supernatural aspects to his being we see. That he does miracles. And most especially that he rises from the dead. It doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with the mindset that most of our neighbours have, does it? It's a challenge to that way of thinking. It's not just in kind of like ideas, it's morally as well. It's our moral way of viewing the world. If we think that life is all about just living for the here and now, having the best life, and even if it's being more other focused than that and doing good to others and making the world a better place, if that's what our mindset's all about, just doing that in the here and now, then it doesn't make sense that Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And especially doesn't make sense that he says, take up your cross daily. For those people whose whole concept of life and their identity is bound up in the way they feel and see themselves, their own... That's the ultimate test of what's right and wrong, whether it's me being true to myself. That's especially evident we see in today's world, in people's sexual identity, and the way that is definitive fully for not just themselves, but how they view right and wrong. In that worldview, it doesn't make sense that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That he's the standard which everything needs to be measured against. And his way, the way that he explains God's good purpose in gender, men and women, is incomprehensible because it's from this different worldview. Now, there's lots of things that challenge the way we think about Jesus. There's lots of things about him that it'd be easier for us to ignore. We wish sometimes they weren't there. And friends, when we encounter these things that are hard, there's two options for us. There's option one, and we can say that doesn't fit, so it's not true, it's not real. Science says people can't rise from the dead, so Jesus didn't rise from the dead. Didn't happen. We can deny. That's option one. And the other option is, it's a lot harder. We can change the way we're willing to see the world. We can adapt our system of thinking to make it fit around Jesus. Or better, to make it fit from him, to be derived from him. Now, this is important when thinking about facts, but how much more important is it when we're thinking about people, about relationship? You know, picture this, a newlywed couple. It's all brand new. It's exciting. They've just got married. Imagine they're eating together their first breakfast as a married couple. Maybe they've never eaten breakfast before together. And the husband, he's thinking, this is awesome. Breakfast with my like ideal wife. I've been waiting for this. And he takes steps into his own hands and he serves up a big plate of pancakes. And he's like, yeah, pancakes. She's going to love this. This is what I've been dreaming about, the wife that loves to eat pancakes with him for breakfast. And the wife goes, oh, that looks really nice. but I really can't do sweet things for breakfast. Like, I just can't do it. But imagine he's going like, but that's my ideal wife. My ideal wife has to eat pancakes for breakfast. That's the way it goes. That's what I've been thinking about and waiting for and dreaming of. And you're her, you've got to fit. It's not going to go that well, is it? Now, it's a bit silly in that example, but the concept is the same, isn't it? We can't make people fit our expectations of them. That just causes friction in relationships. When we come and we see and we think about Jesus, we've got to remember he's a real person we're relating to. He's a person, he's historical, he was around 2,000 years ago. But he's also a person who's alive. And we still relate to. And no matter how hard we'd like him to be different, he won't be. He's who he is. We can't change any of it. So the alternative is for us to let Jesus be Jesus and to get to know him as he is, to let him speak and we be willing to listen, for us to remember how he told us, what he spoke and what he still speaks in the Bible, his word. And we adjust our mindset. We adjust our expectations to match up with Jesus as he is. Jesus who is not in the tomb. Jesus who is not still in his grave clothes. Jesus who is not dead. Who is alive. Jesus who is risen. Jesus who defeats death, who overpowers the hold that death has on him, who breaks the laws of nature and lives, even though he was dead. A Jesus who calls every single person on the planet to recognize him as the resurrected king. He calls every person on the planet to follow him, to live in obedience to him. And he calls every person to share in his resurrection life. And that's the Jesus who is, the Jesus we read about in the Bible. And friends, that's the call of Jesus to repent and believe. Repent, recognize where we've got it wrong, where we've believed false things, where our expectations have made us miss the truth about Jesus, to turn away from them and to accept in faith the reality, to trust in Jesus as he reveals himself. That's the call for us. Remember how he told us. When I'm looking for stuff in the kitchen, Kaz is a great help. Because she's got the framework. She knows where everything goes. So it's easy to ask her, and she can point me in the right direction. She can tell me which drawer or which cupboard I should be looking in. It's a great shortcut too. Searching through the whole thing. And friends, it's the same when we come to Jesus, isn't it? There's people who are pretty familiar with Jesus and are able to help us. And it's great to be able to learn from them, to have them point us in the right direction. That's great. That's why we do Bible study together and why it's so important. When we have other people around us, it helps us see maybe where we've got blind spots or we've got bad expectations that are stopping us from seeing the real Jesus. as we sit next to people who see things just a little bit differently. It's really helpful. And let me tell you, if you're still thinking about these things and you're not quite sure on them, if you still have questions about Jesus, we at Tom's love to help you understand. We'd love to help you see him as he is in the Bible. And we know that it's a big book. If you just jump into a random page, odds are you're going to end up confused. And so we'd love to help you understand and point you to Jesus. That's why we're running Christianity Explained. Why we run it every term, and why we'll be starting again in term two. Because we want to help you. We want to point you in the right direction so you can see Jesus clearly for yourself. Now, friends, when we hear anything about Jesus from the Bible, but especially today as we consider his resurrection, that one event that stands above all the others, I think, in defining for us who he is, shaping how we should think about him. We need to be willing to listen to him as he reveals himself. We don't want to be deceived. We don't want to be misled. We want to see him as he is. Here again, the call of the angels to the women. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you. Now let me pray for us that we would remember and we would see him truly. Great God, I thank you for the Jesus, the real Jesus. The Jesus that lived all those years ago, born in Bethlehem, crucified outside Jerusalem, and raised again on the third day. Father, there's so many things about him that are difficult for us with our ways of thinking. Please help us to be willing to see him as he is, to hear what he has told us from your word, that we may know him and that we may respond to him, that we may repent of our false beliefs, our false actions, and trust in the Jesus who calls us to follow him. Father, we pray for us that you'd work this in us. And we look forward to the promise of sharing in Jesus' resurrection life. Amen.